So, Uncle, I believe yes. We are recording now.
Oh, phenomenal.
All right. So, well, look, how about we get right into it? Good evening, everybody.
Okay. I believe it's Sunday, March 11th, 2007.
Very good. Very good. It's the evening.
I'm the Uncle, as always.
So how's your week been there, Uncle?
Well, my week has been pretty good. Yesterday, I made it to Toys R Us, and I made a $65 purchase.
Oh, fantastic.
Which was two reissue copies of Soundwave in the Classic series.
No kidding. What a wonderful follow-up to our last episode. Excellent.
Yes, and there were only three remaining Soundwaves in the store. I got two, and a young child got the last one.
I can't even tell you how excited I am about this. This is fantastic. That's spectacular, because that's pretty much, that completes the Classics collection.
Well, luckily, there was three of them, so I got two, and he got the last one. Otherwise, things could have got ugly.
How equitable. Everyone wins. Fantastic.
That's right. And I just wanted to let you know something about this re-release.
Yeah.
You see, it's not an actual Soundwave re-release, because he features a double tape deck.
Oh, that's right. It's like double depth, right?
That's correct. So you can fit two tapes inside instead of one. As you might know, the character of Soundwave was killed off in the Japanese series and was then brought back as Sound Blaster, which was basically a black repaint of Soundwave with a double tape deck. So this American Classics version is a real kind of unique oddity, because it is painted in Soundwave colors, yet it has the two-tape capacity.
Fantastic. What an excellent bit of trivia. In fact, I remember the episode of Headmasters when Blaster and Soundwave fought to the death, which was very excellent.
That's true. Blaster was also reincarnated as a repaint as, I think, Broadblast.
What was that again?
I think he was reincarnated as Broadblast, which again was just a repaint.
In fact, have you ever seen the episode?
I unfortunately have not seen, I would say, 98% of any G1.
Oh, that's right, because I keep refusing to loan you my box sets.
That's right. You have those very expensive
signed by Peter
Kong. Kid Rhino DVD releases, of course, signed by the man himself, that you've been reluctant to part with.
Though I only have, like, two out of the five volumes, the rest of which are egregiously expensive on eBay now, but I'm sure some fancy version will be coming out to go along with the movie. That's almost guaranteed. In fact, I know it's guaranteed.
I've been reading up online, and yeah, Sony apparently is going to release all of Generation 1 on DVD up to during the release.
Yeah. Now, if they would release, say, the Japanese editions, like the post-movie stuff, that would be pretty cool, like Victory and Master Force and whatnot. That would be cool. I have to imagine, at the very least, the bootlegs will become more readily available, which is nice, since I still have never seen any of those series, and I've only seen a few Headmaster episodes, one of which being that Soundwave episode, of course.
Well, yes, I believe there is a pretty high-quality Chinese bootleg if you just type in eBay and search for Master Force or Victory or Headmasters. It comes up with all of the Japanese stuff on it. I've never actually bought it because you need a Region 3 DVD player to play it. I don't know if it'll work on my... I'm afraid it won't work on my Mac, so...
Yeah.
I really want to see it, though.
Yeah, I know. I've seen this exact item that you're referring to, and I'm always curious about it, but, you know, never want to take the $60 plunge plus rip-off shipping from China or whatever it actually is.
Right.
Now, so look, now I'm extremely excited about the Soundwave, because that really does tie up the Classics collection nicely. And let me segue into something else with this in terms of Transformers. This past weekend, I took a trip south, and I went to Morristown to take care of some business. And while there, I went to my childhood toy store, which is called the Happy Hippo. And I was astounded that the Happy Hippo was still there. So after taking care of my business in Morristown, I decided that, you know, I should look around a little, see what the town was like, and there was the Happy Hippo with the same sign, like the paint's peeling a little bit, but the same sign on the wall. And I go in, and it's really quite an experience, because in the Happy Hippo are represented, like, all the toys I had from when I was a little kid, like pre-Transformer stuff. And in the corner was still an entire display of Transformers. And I have to imagine that this is kind of how, like, my father learned about them in the first place, and how that whole segment of the preserve came about, at least in the beginning. And then we moved and other stores took precedence. But the Happy Hippo, 20-some years later, still had this display of Transformers and was run, when I was there, by the 24-year-old son of the original owner, which I thought was pretty cool. So I was talking to him a little bit. In the Happy Hippo, they had that gigantic, like, 20th anniversary edition Optimus Prime in, like, the huge, perfect, like, classics edition colored box with the pedestal. So since I couldn't resist being in my childhood toy store, I picked up the giant Prime. I felt if I was ever going to buy it, that was the place to do it. And now that Soundwave has been discovered by you, that really, you know, other than the mini ones, which I'm really not bothering with, as we discussed before, that really kind of ties things up nicely. So I'm very excited by that.
I'm very pleased and thrilled to hear that you picked up that Optimus. I myself do not own him, and I really want to buy him. I want to take the plunge, but I can't wrap my head around spending $100+ on a Transformer.
Yeah, the only way I could really, you know, feel good about it, feel comfortable, was feeling like it was cosmically significant that it was in the actual childhood toy store that started all this. So I don't know whether that's good or kind of the perpetuation of a bad cycle, but hey, who's really to judge?
Well, I think given your situation, it was the only reasonable course of action to take. I mean,
that's right.
That's not a sign. I don't know what it is.
That's right. So, you know, I did that, and then a hop, skip, and a jump away from Morristown is Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where the increasingly less good arcade auctions are held. And it's where a lot of my arcade machines came from at this auction. And I went again, just because I'm kind of a masochist, and I like seeing what's there. And it was really nuts this time. Like, it was all, like, all homeowners with, like, kids running around and strollers and, like, these really shady kind of my age guys who I've seen at the last couple auctions that I know are running reselling shops. Like, they totally are in the eBay market, so they buy all these machines and they resell them. Everyone's walking around with those Bluetooth cell phones in their ears. So, like, yeah, I, as much as it's kind of sketchy, the old way these things worked with, like, the third string kind of arcade mob guys, now you have this whole new class of guys which, you know, for whatever reason, really pissed me off. So it was kind of weird that the prices for stuff, everything you hear about is that arcade machine prices are in the basement, but it was astounding how high stuff went at this show. And, like,
now, Charlie, would you be able to supply me with a couple of examples of machines and prices that they went for?
Well, let's see. There was a in particular a broken Arkanoid that really should have gone for like $30 or $40, and it went for over $200. There were a couple House of the Dead, like, decent sized ones that are kind of a pain to move, and in previous shows I've seen anything larger than you can put on a hand truck go for like $5 because no one wants to move it. Those both went for over $1,000 this time. And there was a Galaga Miss Pac-Man combo, those things that came out about 5 years ago, and that went for $1,800, I believe. So, like,
wow.
Like, the prices will be up soon because Basement Arcade Mark was there. You know, I saw him writing down the prices dedicatedly, so he'll have those up in a couple weeks probably. Now, I'll tell you this, and I didn't tell you on the phone because I wanted to get your reaction. What broke my heart, and it wouldn't fit in my truck because the cap was on it, so the only thing I could have bought at the show would have been a pinball machine or a small arcade machine. They had a Sunset Riders there, and that Sunset Riders, that Sunset Riders went for $110, and that just, that broke
only
my heart.
Only $110?
Broke my heart. Broke my heart, because, like, all this other stuff's getting bid up into the sky, and then Sunset Riders comes up, it's working great, it was beautiful, and like, even the auctioneer's like, come on, guys, what you've been paying, what's going on? You've been bidding on all these other things, and just, I was sitting there just biting my tongue, because I knew I couldn't fit it in my truck. It was a nightmare. So, yeah.
That's like your worst nightmare.
Dude. But, and I'll tell you, the last pinball machine before I got fed up and I left halfway through just because I was bummed that after the Sunset Riders, I was like, this is ridiculous. I can't even buy anything and the prices are high and there's a bunch of douchebags here, so I'm just going to leave. But, like, I bid on a pinball machine. It was kind of cool. It was this 1981 Stern game called Force 2 that I'd never seen before, but it was pretty hip, had like an Aliens theme and a bunch of flippers. And no one was bidding on it, and I bid on it like $100. All right. And somebody else bids 150. And I was going to stop. I was like, no, I can't do it. And this guy, the second string auctioneer, the guy who actually organizes the shows, Rob looks at me, and he knows me because I come to all these shows. And he looks at me, he's like, what, you only got one bullet in that gun? And I'm like, oh, dude, fine. And so then I bid again like an asshole. And then, of course, the guy bids against me, and I finally stop. I'm like, look, thank God I got outbid. I really didn't want to deal with hauling this around. And Rob's just going after me. He's like, man, you're going to lose this for $10. You realize that? It's not worth an extra $10 to you? Like, man, this is like the first person who's been given any hell during their bidding process. I'm so glad it's me. Fantastic. So, but fortunately, I didn't follow that one up into the heavens because it would have just been a problem. So nothing came back from the auction with me except for some like yard lights that cost $2 in the parts auction. I was like, maybe the yard lights work. Here's $2. But
well, at least it came back with Optimus.
Yeah, exactly. And a fabulous experience of in Morristown, I wandered into this little antique store where I had to be buzzed in through the door. And I talked to this awesome dude running the antique store about, like, it was just me and him in there, and the place was totally, like, you know, is basically like his workshop. Like, it wasn't really set up like a storefront. It had some displays, but it's clearly where he just did all his work, and once in a while people would come by. And it was one of these things where, as you would say, how do I get into these situations, where we just, like, talked for 2 hours about life in general. And it was, and then midway through our conversation, another dude comes in, and overhears something I say and introduces himself, and it turns out he's one of the guys who runs Pin Rescue, which is one of the largest like pinball restoration outfits in New Jersey and the East Coast. And so we start talking about that, and it was just epic, this ridiculous thing that I stumbled into. So yeah, once again.
See, Charlie, that's not as ridiculous as I had imagined. I thought you were going to relay the scenario where the dude, you know, unlocks this metal box underneath his desk hidden in the floor with some ancient weird relic that he decides to give to you for free, given to him by a sailor that has some curse on it.
Well, you know, maybe if my parking meter hadn't run out, I would have gotten to that point, but I had to, you know, I had to scoot, so that's just... Unfortunately, I feel I can go back, but I didn't reach the pirate treasure, cursed relic quite yet. Not that day.
So you didn't find One-Eyed Willie's map?
No. No, but the pinball guy did want to sell me a Cabaret Tempest, and he said he lived right down the street, and why didn't I drive my pickup truck over and pick it up? And I was like, you know, as cool as that sounds, I really shouldn't buy a Cabaret Tempest right now, as much as I'd like to. But yeah, so there were some business deal shenanigans that went down, but I was strong and abstained, especially having just bought Optimus Prime at the Happy Hippo right down the street. So, yeah. But, like, this reminds me of a lot of things. In particular, it reminds me of an important storage bin thing I need to discuss with you.
Oh, excellent. Go right ahead.
And I feel this is something that you'll definitely appreciate, because I was in the storage bins about a week ago and was able to discover the Grayskull portion of Castle Eternia.
So Castle Eternia now is two-thirds complete.
Two-thirds complete, that is correct. Still missing the Snake Mountain portion. Of course, with those chains and all that crazy stuff, so I got to keep looking. But
you really do. Eternia needs to be brought back to life just once.
That's true. Well, you know, and I found some other crazy He-Man stuff, which I'll try to catalog at some point. But yeah, two-thirds of Eternia. We're getting there slowly but surely. Found some more Battle Beast stuff. Yeah.
Now, Charlie, I don't mean to be... When did you first show me Eternia?
Right. Well, I suppose that I first, quote-unquote, showed you Eternia when we drunkenly unwrapped it that evening. So, I think that, because it was, yeah, it was unveiled at a time I don't particularly remember, but that was at least a year ago.
Garmingle?
It was, in fact, the Garmingle night, I believe.
I actually think it was the place earlier than that.
Really? All right.
I think it may have been 2004.
Oh, holy cow. All right, well, then, you know, we're slightly above the average of one piece per year, And if I find Snake Mountain soon, at least we can stick on that nice, nice numerical, you know, constant. So that's good. So we'll see. Well, that encourages me to redouble my efforts. It must, well, because I've been through an awful lot of stuff now, but obviously I thought I'd been through everything before, and it was just sitting right there. So it's remarkable how stuff can hide right in front of you in about, oh, I don't know, 1,000 square feet of storage space.
And again, Charlie, for the benefit of our listeners who may be new, how many storage bins do you presently own?
Oh, just 8.
8?
Yeah.
And how many square foot is the average storage bin?
That's a good question. I think most of them are 10 by 10 or larger, which puts, you know, I'd say the average then is 150 if you take between the regulars and the large. So let's say 150. So my estimate actually was low, and that'd be, what, 1,200 square feet total by 8?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. If my math's not wrong, which it might well be. So there's some ground left to cover, is what we're saying, and that's okay.
Yeah, and again, these things always cough up new and exciting treasure.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, just because that's not enough, do you remember the Flash Force 2000 set that I put
together? Oh, yes, I do.
The base on? Well, simply out of yet more bad planning on my part, I've now secured the Tornado Chopper for that series, which brings me two quarters, or I guess one half of the complete set. So that hopefully will be joining the base playset on the Preserve shortly. Everybody can keep an eye out for that.
That, Charlie, it's always phenomenal whenever you get something new.
Well, yeah, isn't it? Now, you know, again, I'm monopolizing the conversation, but that's just because there's so much going on at the Preserve right now. I've talked to you about the, of course, the Sega Master System game Quest, correct?
Yes, yes, you have.
Indeed, and my kind of all-consuming passion now to watch eBay to attempt to find good prices. And I fear, and I certainly don't wish to be so egotistical as to think I had anything to do with it, but I do fear that I've championed the cause of this system so strongly that at least now everybody else is doing the same thing, perhaps in one of those kind of psychological gestalts where the same idea generally occurs to society at multiple points at the same time due to various external factors. So it could be that I'm not the only one.
There is a collective unconscious?
I am discussing the collective unconscious, absolutely. And so I think that perhaps... yes?
You see that, Charlie?
Yeah?
A rising tide benefits all Sega Master System owners.
Exactly, unless you happen to be the poor sap who's still trying to complete the cartridge collection. That's the problem, you see, because...
Right.
Yeah?
You should have really realistically been doing this in 1996.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Or any time before 2007, apparently, because the prices... I just watched, you know, a Dick Tracy sell for $20. I don't even understand
what's
going on. Yeah, hey, I've been watching...
Unbelievable.
And now that I'm trying to complete the collection, it really is amazing how the just the bidding wars that are going on for these things are pretty unprecedented, and it stretches across all systems. And granted, I haven't really done a careful historical breakdown on prices, but from kind of casual observing, it seems that things have changed a lot in the last several months. And unfortunately, now that I'm trying to really do up these collections properly, it's making it difficult and expensive. But yeah, we will see. Patience.
Well, the problem here with eBay, Charlie, is you just need two people that want an item.
Yeah, precisely. And, you know, given that the whole world can bid, it's odds are against you. It's the thing.
They really are.
And now the other problem...
You know, people in China might not be able to bid.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah, when they lock it down in China and but other places China. Without computers. But, you know...
Well, Charlie, I have to remind you, I did sell a Lego set and had it shipped to Istanbul.
Oh, very nice. How much did that cost?
Yep. I think I got $144.
Wow. What was the shipping to Istanbul?
It was reasonable. It was like $35.
Wow. All right.
Considering it was half a world away, I don't think it was too bad.
Very nice. Well, like, so I just think the other problem, though, is a lot of these bidders probably aren't just getting the one for their collection. They're getting the one for their little eBay store, that they're going to mark up, you know, a few bucks or whatever they do and try to sell. I'm just thinking, I don't know how you make a profit doing that when you count shipping, when you count how much it costs, but it's the same thing I saw at the arcade auction, where it's kind of these young guys who are trying to do their business, and so it really drives the prices up because you get a couple groups of these young guys there, and they're just fighting. And then you end up seeing prices way above market, and really, on eBay, in these auctions, these regular auctions, you see prices above what you can actually go to the, whatever, eBay sellers and buy it now, and yeah, it's a little upside down, the prices right now. So, you know, the eBay watch is kind of going a little red right now on the preserve, and we got to bide our time and be patient, and the prices will sort themselves out. It'll be okay.
That's right. That invisible hand will guide us all.
Thank you, Adam Smith. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes.
So now, and I suppose really the last thing, I just wanted to give a big shout out to Crispin Glover, the man himself.
Oh.
Now I'm certain that neither he nor anyone he knows will ever listen to this podcast, but we had a great time seeing him up in Rochester a few days ago, getting a fabulous picture with him that everybody should check out on the preserve for its sheer awesomeness. And he was really, really in his element, did a fantastic job, and everybody had a great time. He was a nice guy.
Now the uncle.
Yes.
What did you think of the movie? You saw it, right?
I thought the movie, which Helen is referring to, what it is and how it's done, I believe was the title.
Yeah, or
what is it
being the short version.
Ah, what is it? So I mangled that.
How it is done, I believe, is one of his very early books, which is now out of print.
Oh, okay. Well, I also had the pleasure of seeing said film by Crispin Helian Glover, and it was undescribable. Words fail to describe the movie. I would just encourage anyone considering to watch the movie, you have to see this before you die.
Yes, and really, if at all possible, seeing this film, or at least even in two different sittings, seeing his big slideshow is very imperative as well, as a performance piece, as a piece of art, as just a good time. Seeing his big slideshow is entirely worthwhile.
I'd also like to make a comment there. If you search YouTube, you can find people who took video of it.
Oh,
it
really?
Is absolutely not the same. You
wow.
must see it in person.
Interesting. I had not done that. Ah, those bootleggers, they're always active. Fantastic.
Yeah, but it really does not translate. You have to actually go in person and watch it to really get the full brunt
That's right.
of his film.
That's right. So, well, Uncle, we're coming up on, I suppose, the numerical end of our podcast, or perhaps the time for an intermission. So if you've got some more on your mind, hold on just a second, and we're going to take an intermission, if that sounds all right for you.
That sounds great, Charlie.
All right, we'll see you in a few.
I was walking on the ground, I didn't make a sound, then I turned around and I saw a clown, had a frown, stood on a mound, started barking like a hound. When I came to it, I found he showed me something that was brown. So we became great friends, and late in life, he got sick. I gave him some soup, but he got worse. It asked for its purse. It got it, but it was empty, so it cried aplenty. I wondered what to do. I didn't know what to think, so I got a drink. And then I showed it something that was round. Then it died, smiled, and fell on the ground. About those days with the clown, I get teary-eyed and really snide. I think that deep down, I hated that clown, but not as much Mr. Farr. I'm gonna go smoke a cigar. I was walking on the ground, I didn't make a sound, and then I turned around, I saw a clown. Clown. Clowny clown, clown. I hate you, clown. Your ugly frown, smiley lips. I think I'll clip you across the nose, clown. With the cigar, I'll get you real far. Like Mr. Farr, get it? Mr. Farr. Clown. Clown. See what a cigar will do? Clown. Ugly clown.
Hey, everybody. We're back. And I think that the uncle has a little little VC style to discuss.
Yes, and the VC that Charlie is referencing is the virtual console for the Nintendo Wii. Now, unfortunately, I cannot get my younger brother's Nintendo Wii to connect to our Apple Airport Extreme due to some kind of weird setting. However, my friend has his virtual console up and running, and we just had the joyous experience last night of buying Streets of Rage, downloading Streets of Rage, and playing it on his Nintendo Wii.
Oh, fantastic. Now, fantastic.
This is the perfect service for the lover of classic games. And while the initial library needs some work, there's probably only around 25 to 30 games, and this is between Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, Nintendo 64, and TurboGrafx-16. I think this will be an excellent thing to distinguish the Nintendo Wii as a system from a competition. Because if you, for example, feel like playing Bonk's Adventure, you just go put in your credit card information, it charges you immediately, and you can download games.
That's really, really amazing. And how much do the games cost on average?
Well, on average, the way it works is basically you buy $10 worth of points. And most games, the NES games, are generally $6.
Okay.
The Super Nintendo and TurboGrafx-16 games are $8, and the N64 games are
$10. Wow. I gotta say,
so if you want the Ocarina, it really is. I mean, considering now, for how many years have emulators been all the rage where people were just getting them for free?
Yep.
Now Nintendo has actually set up a way to collect on its, I would argue, excellent back catalog of video games.
Yeah.
And also they had the intelligence to sign other companies up, like Sega and NEC, who did the TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah, to get Hudson on board, it's really amazing that they've got the TurboGrafx library coming on strong, which is really something that I look forward to quite a bit. In spite of the fact that I'm, you know, working on the original game collection anyway, I still think it's great because it exposes people more to it. And this really is something I've been wondering, if the virtual console has played a big part in causing people to reevaluate the classic games and the classic hardware, which has led in part to these spikes in value on eBay. I've just been kicking that around because the two things seem to coincide almost directly.
Well, you know, you never know with things like that. Could it have some portion in the increasing the aftermarket value of old system and games? Maybe, but I really don't think it's reached a critical mass yet.
I
think it really catches on in a big way, and people say, I want the originals, you'll see a very dramatic spike.
Yeah, so
because the Wii has only been out for several months.
That's true. So we may see even higher prices still in the future.
That's very true. I mean, the bottom line, Charlie, and this is, I think, something that cuts right to the heart of why we do the podcast, is that people will spend a lot of money for not just nostalgia and memories.
Yeah.
And if they had a certain game and it brings them back to a certain time and place in their life, they will shell out considerable dollars to get that and to try to recapture that.
That's a very astute analysis. I entirely agree, and it's really amazing that the sky is really the limit with what the infrastructure they've set up. While you said, you know, they only have 20, 30 games right now, it's really remarkable to think what they can do with this in the future.
And also, I was just saying, the way it's been set up, the actual execution by Nintendo, is that if your Wii console, for whatever reason, becomes damaged or lost or you need a new one, it's saved to your account, not specifically to your console. So if you put your account information into a new console, you could play all the games that you've already bought.
Now that is a great idea. It is a very great idea to keep it not hardware specific and not, you know, in your house. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Basically, the iTunes hasn't even advanced to that level yet.
Right.
If you're, for whatever reason, if you need to wipe your entire hard drive and you're on a PC, all that money that you spent on iTunes songs, if you don't have them burned to CD, tough luck.
Yeah, that is really astounding to me.
Yeah, it is to me too.
Well, go Nintendo for being consumer savvy. That's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, it took. I'm just surprised that Nintendo was the only one, has been the only major video game company to try and capitalize on offering pre-existing titles. That's not entirely true. The Xbox 360 has also set up the Xbox Live Arcade, where you can download classic arcade games, but it's really not the same scope.
Right.
In terms of what the Wii is trying to accomplish with the virtual console.
Yep. That makes sense to me. And you know, like I said, it is interesting that they're really kind of scratching the surface of such a huge thing that they've planted here. And it'll be great to see if they keep it up. It really could go either way. You know, they might say, "Oh, it's not worth the effort if not enough people are buying them." But I really imagine that people are spending the money, and that there will be the business reason to support them growing this library more.
But again, Charlie, I mean, it's a very interesting topic of discussion, because all of the things you would traditionally associate with video game manufacture, research and development, programming, packaging, shipping, retail, getting it with the store, none of that has to take place. I mean, basically, the games are already made. All they have to do is encode them and emulate them and host them on their website and sell them.
Exactly. It's like just free, absolute free money rolling in.
Exactly. I mean, who knows, Charlie? Maybe one day this is the way with, you know, just on the you can ship out games directly to the console and pay $50.
Yep.
You won't even have to wait until midnight to download the new Blizzard expansion for the World of Warcraft. It'll just, you know, midnight will hit. It'll charge your account, and you know, you just immediately download it.
That's right, lickety split. Fantastic. And you know, I have to imagine the thinkers, like some of the people who are actually paying attention at stores like GameStop and EB Games, are probably a little concerned.
Well, if I was them, you know, I would be, because I think this is the way of the future. Will video game stores entirely disappear? I don't think so. I mean, I think there's always going to be, you know, some segment of the population that enjoys walking around in them and browsing and seeing what's new and, you know, supporting them and ultimately buying from them.
Mm-hmm.
But could there be a large scale back that is analogous to what happened to CD and album stores?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe.
Well, and you know, also it's the kind of thing that, of course, video rental places are running into these days. And whether that market is substantially different, it probably is, because then you're talking about rental versus which really doesn't have as much of a need anymore, as opposed to, say, Best Buy or something, where you're actually purchasing this hard copy of the movie, which I think is more akin to purchasing the hard copy of a game or some such, or having that experience of browsing titles physically, like wearing your sneakers and going to a store. So, and the question is whether that experience still has enough value to keep the storefronts around. So it could be that a sales front like Best Buy will actually have more longevity than, say, Blockbuster. Though Blockbuster's been really smart in tying together their whole Netflix, their Netflix competitor, with their brick and mortar thing, and I don't know how it's working out for them. I haven't really kept up with the business side of stuff, but it was a good try. It was a good idea.
Yeah, I have to say it was admirable. You know, they have been taking steps to try and combat the influence, and I would argue market share of Netflix. But have they taken root? I don't really know. You know, I haven't studied the annual reports of Blockbuster. Hell, I don't even know if Netflix is publicly traded. I think it might still be privately owned.
Yeah,
but it would be interesting to compare the actual hard numbers of the two.
Yeah, definitely. Well, only time will tell, Uncle. Only time will tell.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, the time tells me that we got to be moseying on down that road, Uncle.
I definitely agree, Charlie.
All right, man. Well, look, you have a good week. We will keep everybody up to date on the things that you need to know in our next episode. And until then, Uncle,
we certainly will.
Yes, and just, you know, I don't know now what's next with the Transformers, because we're now into the movie toys, you know. The holy grail of Soundwave has been acquired, so now we just got to see.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for that. It's going to be very exciting.
That's right, man. So in the meantime, everybody keep your eyes peeled for those, and we'll see you here on the Uncle Cast next
week. That's right. Have a great week.
All right. Later, Uncle.
Bye.